The Story of Puss in Boots. Once upon a time, there was a miller who had nothing to leave to his three sons but his mill, his donkey, and his cat. The eldest son got the mill, the second son, the donkey, and the youngest son, Jack, nothing but the cat. The poor young fellow was quite sad at his lot. My brothers may make a good living by joining together, but as for me, although the cat can eat by catching mice, I must die of hunger. The cat, who heard all this, said to him,
"Well, do not worry, my good master. Just give me a bag and let me have a pair of high boots made for me so that I can scamper among the thorny bushes, and you shall see that you are not so badly off as you imagine."
Well, though the cat's master did not take much comfort from this, he gave Puss what he asked for. The cat pulled on the boots, and putting his bag around his neck with some bran in it, he went into a meadow where many rabbits lived. There, he stretched out as if he were dead. Almost at once, a rash and foolish young rabbit came along and jumped into his bag. Master Puss pulled tight the strings of the bag, took his catch to the palace, and asked to speak to the king. He was shown upstairs into the king's apartment. Making a low bow, he said,
"Your Majesty, I have brought you, sir, a gift from my noble lord, the Marquis of Carabas."
For that was the name which Puss was pleased to give his young master, Jack.
"Tell your master," said the king, "that I thank him."
Another time, Puss hid among some standing corn, holding his bag open. And when a brace of fine partridges ran into it, he again drew the strings. And again he made a present of the birds to the king. The king received the birds with great pleasure and sent his greetings once more to the unknown Marquis of Carabas. The cat continued for 2 or 3 months to carry to his majesty presents of game from his master. Then, one day, when he knew the king was to ride in his coach along the riverside with his daughter, the most beautiful princess in the world, he said to his master,
"If you will follow my advice, your fortune is made. You have only to bathe in the river where I show you, and leave the rest to me."
The Marquis of Carabas did what the cat advised him to, without knowing why or wherefore. While he was bathing, the king passed by, and the cat began to cry as loud as he could,
"Help! Help! My master, the Marquis of Carabas, is drowning!"
At this, the king put his head out of his coach window and quickly commanded his guards to run to the assistance of the Marquis of Carabas. They soon fished the surprised Marquis out of the river. Meanwhile, the cat had hidden his master's shabby clothes under a big stone. Now he came running up to the king's coach and said,
"Robbers have made off with my master's clothes."
The king immediately commanded the officers of his wardrobe to run and bring one of his handsomest costumes for the Lord Marquis of Carabas. Dressed in the fine clothes, the young man looked very handsome indeed, and the king's daughter fell in love with him. The king invited the young man into the coach to join them on their ride. The cat, overjoyed to see his plan succeeding, marched on ahead. Meeting some countrymen who were mowing a meadow, he said to them,
"Good people, if you do not tell the king that this meadow belongs to the Marquis of Carabas, you shall be chopped up as fine as herbs for the pot."
So, when the king asked whose meadows they were, the mowers replied,
The Marquis of Carabas."
The master cat, who still went on before, met some reapers and said to them,
"Good people, if you do not tell the king that this cornfield belongs to the Marquis of Carabas, you shall be chopped up as fine as herbs for the pot."
The king soon asked to whom all the corn belonged.
"To the Marquis of Carabas," replied the reapers.
The master cat, going on before, said the same thing to all he met, and the king was astonished at the grand estates of the Marquis of Carabas. At last, Master Puss in Boots came up to the great castle where lived the powerful giant to whom all these lands really belonged. The cat asked to speak with him to pay his respects, and the giant received him as pleasantly as a giant could.
"I have been told," said the cat, "that you are able to change yourself into any creature you choose.
That is true, said the giant briskly. You shall now see me become a lion.
Oh, Puss was so terrified at seeing a fierce lion near him that he scampered up onto the rafters. When the giant resumed his natural shape, the cat came back down.
And I have, moreover, been informed,
said the cat,
that you can change yourself into the smallest animals, a mouse or a rat. But I must say, I consider this impossible.
Impossible? You shall see.
And he changed himself into a tiny mouse and began to run around the floor. When Pussycat saw the giant had become a mouse, he promptly fell upon him and ate him up. Meanwhile, the king was passing the castle. Puss ran out and said to the king,
Your Majesty is welcome to the castle of my Lord Marquis of Carabas.
What, my Lord Marquis? Cried the king. Is this castle yours also? What could be finer? Let us go into it, if you please.
The Marquis gave his hand to the princess, and they followed the king. They passed into a spacious hall, where they found a fine feast which the giant had prepared for some of his wicked friends who dared not come in now. His Majesty was perfectly charmed with the Marquis and his vast estates, as was the princess.
It will please me very much, my Lord Marquis, to have you marry my daughter, said the king.
The Marquis bowed low, accepted the honor, and married the happy princess that very day. And Puss in Boots became a great lord who hunted mice after that, only as a sport.